Okay, so today's daf is Shabbos daf Chof Aleph Amud Aleph. We're going to be familiar with some of this daf. So some of the stuff at the Chof Aleph Amud Beis, we're going to discuss a bit about Ner Chanukah. Okay, so just put yourself on mute if you are. Put you on mute if when you have what to say. Then obviously unmute yourself. So the top line of Chof Aleph Amud Aleph. Tanur Rabbanan Kol Elu Shamu Ein Madlikin Bahem B'Shabbos. All of these types that the rabbi said, the Chazal said, you shouldn't light with them on Shabbos, and they're for Shabbos, used for wick. Avalosi mehem medura. I guess you can use from these sources a kind of bonfire, I guess, because then all these wicks can light each other. Bein lischamem kenegdo, bein lishtamish lower. Whether you are heating yourself. You are heating yourself, using it to heat yourself, or whether lishtamish laora, whether you're lighting in order to use it, bein al gabi kark, whether it's on the ground, bein al gabi kira, whether it's on a stovetop. So velo asu el lasas mehem psila lener bilvad. The only prohibition is when they tell you that you shouldn't use it, just a singular wick, because then it's not going to catch. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Velo b'shemen kik. You can't use shemen kik. So Gemara asks, my shemen kik? What shemen kik? Amar Shmuel sheltinu lechol nechose yaba. He asks to all the seafarers. Amar li, they said to me, Of echad yesh b'krach ha'yam kik shmo. There is one bird on the islands. It's called kik. Rav Yitzchak Bray de Rav Yehuda Amar. It's a type of bird. Amar. Mishcha dekazi. No, it's a shemen kik is oil that. So according to the first opinion, is the fat of this bird, is used for the fuel. So that is the oil of this bird, the fat of this bird. That's what the shemen kik is. And Rav Yitzchak Braid Rav Yehuda Amar, he says it's mishcha dekazi. It's oil that goes out from I guess cottonseed. Rishaga Shamar Kikayon de Yona. The oil comes from the Kikayon of Yona, the plant in the fourth chapter of the Yona story. Amar Rabba Baruchana Ladidi Chazali Kikayon de Yona. Rabba Baruchana said, I saw the Kikayon of Yona. Velitzloliva dummy, and it's similar to a tree whose name is Tzloliva. U mi de Paske Rave. And because it grows, I guess, on the waters, the alpum chanusa midlan yase, and people hang it by the opening of the stores, I guess, so there'll be a shade. I guess it provides shade, right? It provided shade to Yona in the Yona story. And it's also good smell. Umi fartsi dohi avdi mishkan, from the seeds you make oil. Uva anfohi nochin ko briche demarava. And in the shadow, the shade of its branches, all the sick people lie on it. I guess, I don't know. So it's healthy. So because Eretz Yisrael, the reason is because Eretz Yisrael is a land with a lot of mountains. And it's very hot. So the people, the ground's very hot. So you live under the shade, and also underneath you have the branches. Amar Rabba Psilos. Amar Rabba. So Psilos Amar Chom Emelikam Veshabes B'mneisha or Misach Zeches Bohem. So Rabba said the wicks. The Chazal said, the Rabbi said, you shouldn't light with them on Shabbos. It's the reason for this is because the fire doesn't light well with these wicks. Rather, it jumps around. Shmonim Amar Chom Emelikam Bohem. The oils that Chazal said you shouldn't light with them. What's the reason for that? B'mneisha Ein Nimshachim Achar Psila. Because they're not drawn after the wick. And so there is a concern that because it doesn't light well in either case, that you will play with the lamp on Shabbos, that the oil will become more connected with the wick, and you're going to be maver, you're going to light on Shabbos. That's the concern. Boy, mini Abai mi Rabba. Abai asks Rabba. The oils that Chazal that are said you can't lay with them on Shabbos. Are you allowed to place good shemen, good oil, and light with them? In other words, can you mix good oil with bad oil and use it, or no, it's oil that's listed in the Mishnah, which you shouldn't use, with other oil, so that it will light well. And so what are the two sides of this question? Are we concerned that if we let you light with invalid oil together with valid oil, then you might end up lighting only with invalid oil at some point in the future? Although, or maybe not. Maybe they didn't make this gezeira, this decree. Amar le, ein madlikim. So Rabbi said to Abai, no, we don't light. We are concerned. My time, lefish ein madlikim. What's the reason? Because since you can't light with this invalid oil by itself, so therefore we don't let you light with a mixture. Esve, Abai challenged Rabba from the following brisa. Karach davar shemalikibo al gabe davar sheemalikibo. Let's say you folded a wick that you're allowed to light with on Shabbos on top of something that you cannot light with on Shabbos. Ein madlikim bo, you're not allowed to light with it. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. But Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Shel Beis Abba. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, in my father's house, Rabbi Gamliel's house, you karchim psila gabe egos. He would fold a wick, that was a kosher wick, on top of a nut that by itself cannot be used as a wick. Umadlikin, and they would use this together as a wick for Shabbos. So Abai approves katari mihas madlikin. We see that what? The Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that you can light. So how can you say that you're not allowed to light? It says you're allowed to light. Amar le, but Rabbi says back to him, ad mos vasli with Rav Shimon Gamliel from until if you're going to ask me about what Rav Shimon Gamliel did, so sayin hu mit Tanakama. Yeah, but I can support Tanakama. This is a debate. We hold like the Tanakama holds that you're not allowed to do that. But Abai says back to him, halo kash, it's not a question. My Sarav. Rabbi Shimon testifies that this is what his father did. So the fact that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, if you had a debate, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, this is what my father did, what it means is, that's how this halacha was resolved. That we hold that you are allowed to mix a kosher wick with a non-kosher wick and use them together. Mikol makom kashas, therefore it's a question what you said. My Lav lahadlik. In other words, doesn't it mean that you're allowed to light the nut together with the wick, and you could mix an invalid wick with a valid wick? Gemara says, no, that's not true. What does it mean? Lahakpos. That the purpose of the nut was not to use as a wick, but was to support the wick that would float, so it would float on top of the oil and wouldn't get sunk in it. So the nut would somehow support the wick. But it's not, actually didn't function as a wick. So Gemara says, Ila hakpos, my Tanakama, to my Tanakama, if indeed the goal is merely to support it, so why would Tanakama say you can't do it? So now the Gemara is going to have to revisit what the Brisa is really saying. The Brisa, he says, really, Kula Rav Shimon Gamliel here. Really, the whole Brisa is not giving two opinions. One is the Tanakama and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rather, the entire Brisa is a statement of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and this is how you read it. V'chasuri mekser hakavitadi. And really, the Brisa is missing a few words, so this is what it means to say. Karef davar shemadlikibal gabe davar. If you fold the wick by which you light on something else, if you're folding one wick on top of if you're folding a wick that to light with something else, she'ema likimbo. Now, if you to fold a wick that's invalid with a wick that's valid, that you can't do. The med from Amorim, when do we say this? When does halacha apply? That's lahadlik. That's only to, if you want to light if you want to use the invalid wick to help to light with the valid wick. Aval lahakpos, but merely to help to support. If you use something that would be invalid for a wick to support something which is valid, then it's mutter, then you can light with it. Shirong Lil Omer, because Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, Shobes Abba Hayu Korchim Psila Gabe Egos, that my father's house they would fold a wick on top of it of a nut in order to allow the wick to float on top. Ini asked the Gemara, is that really true? Vahamar Rabbronim Arav Kalev Mohutach Vekirve Dogim Shenimohu Adam Nosim Lesochol Sheben Kol Shehu Batlik. says that fat, melted fat, or the insides of fish that were melted. I guess they didn't have time to go to the store and buy some normal oil. But okay, so the melted fat or the insides of a fish that were melted, a person can place inside a kosher valid oil of any amount and light. So we see that this seems to be okay. You're mixing valid and invalid oil. The Gemara answers, honey, no. These types of fats here, or the melted fat or the insides of the fish, mimshchei beinahu, they're fine. They actually could be, they're drawn after the wick when they are by themselves, without any other mixture. Vahani, however, the other oils that are invalid, lo mimshchei beinahu, they are not drawn after the wick when they are by themselves. V'gazu rabbanan al-chele mahutach mishum chelev she'ede mahutach, al-kirvei dom shenimochu mishum kirvei dom shelonimochu. And the rabbis made a decree, and they said that even though this melted fat or the insides of a fish that were melted, that they're good, they'd be good use as fuel. They are drawn after the wick. They made a gzeira decree: don't do that, because if you use melted fat, you may end up using unmelted fat. If you use the insides of fish that were melted, that were dissolved, you might use the insides of the fish that were not. So they made a gzeira, but they're only going to make that gzeira, that decree, if you use these substances by themselves. But if you use them as part of a mixture, there's no gzeira, there's no decree. So the Gemara asks, V'legzer nami, chel mehutav kiri dom shenimochu shenasan sochon shemen mishum, chel mehutav kiri dom shenimochu shelo nasan lesochon shemen. So the Gemara asks, why don't you make a decree that you also can't light with these things out of a gzeira, that if you use these things as a mixture, use the other things as a mixture? So the Gemara says, Gemara answers, he gufa gzeira. No, the whole prohibition to use melted fat or the insides of a fish that were melted are only these prohibitions are only a gzera themselves, a decree themselves. We're not going to make a double gzera. So that's why only these two substances are forbidden if they are used by themselves, but they're permitted if they're used in a mixture with other valid fuel sources. The Gemara now clarifies the laws of psilos, of wicks and oils that are pasul, that are invalid for the Erev Shabbos, regarding using them for the Beis HaMikdash. Tani Rabbi Bar Chaba, psilos yishmarim shem chachomim imadlik behem b'Shabbos. Wicks and oils that Chazal say, that our sages say, you can't light with them on Shabbos. Eid madlikim behem b'Mikdash. We don't light, can't lights in the Mikdash. Mishum shenamar, because the Pasuk says, la'alos ner tamid. And the Gemara is going to explain what we learn from this Pasuk. Hu tani la v'hu amar la. He said this drash and he also explained it. Because when it says in the Pasuk, la'alos, it means k'dei she'tehe shel heves ola me'leha, so that the flame should go up by himself, v'lo she'tehe ola yidei davar acher, and rather it should not go up through something else, through fixing it or tilting the wick. And so therefore, you shouldn't, when you're lighting the menorah in the mikdash, you need to make sure that you're lighting with a wick that you won't need to fix after you light it. You need to light with a good wick. So therefore, those wicks which are not good for Shabbos candles, out of the concern that you might move the wick, are also not good for the same reason. For a different reason, but for the Beis HaMikdash, because we don't want you moving the wick. We don't want you moving the wick on Shabbos, because that would be a violation of havara, burning, kindling a flame. And we don't want you to turn the wick of the Beis HaMikdash, because of the pasuk lahalos there tamid, it should be able to be supported by itself once you light it. Now the Gemara is going to try to prove from our Mishnah, perhaps against Rabbi Bar Chama, by the following. Tanan, we learn in the Mishnah, mivloi michse kohanim, the leftover, the worn out michnasayim of the clothing of the pants of the kohanim, umehem yonehem, or the worn out threads from their belts. Hayu mafkiim, they'd rip them out as threads, and they'd use them as wicks. Umehem madlikim, and from there they would use their clothing. They'd use their worn out, the threads from their worn out clothing, for wicks for the menorah. So we see from here that, so what? So the belts were made from flax and different types of wool. And we saw yesterday that wool is invalid for lighting on Shabbos. So how can they use this material to be lit for the Beis HaMikdash? What must it mean? It must mean that those materials that are invalid for Shabbos are not necessarily invalid for the menorah. So Gemara says, no, it's not a proof. Simchas Beis HaShemei V'Shaydi. Says that when it says that the Kohani would use their threads or their clothing to light menorahs, it's not referring to the menorah of the Mikdash. It's not referring to the menorah, the menorah that we know, like the most prominent menorah. But there were other lights of the Mikdash. It doesn't say that let's say for the lights for the Simcha Beit HaShoeva, right, and the nights of Sukkos where they had big celebrations and they wanted they had these celebrations at night, so they lit menorahs, they lit lamps throughout the Beis HaMikdash area. That's fine. When it says that which is forbidden on Shabbos, the wicks are forbidden on Shabbos, you can't use for the menorah. That's only referring to the menorah of the classic menorah that we have, but not the lamps for the Simcha Beit HaShoeva. Toshma, come in here. We try to knock off Rabbi Rachamah's proof again. The Tani Rabbi Bar Basta Bidei Kuna Shebalav Afkiyin Osa. The clothing of Kohanim that became worn out, we would rip them also for threads. Ubehen Hayu Osim Psilos LaMikdash, and we use them for wicks for the Mikdash. My love, Dikilai. Aren't we saying that this refers to the clothing that are made from wool and linen, like the belts? And again, it would seem to indicate that therefore using wool for wicks. Lo, the boots. No, we're referring to the threads from their flax clothing. What was made of flax? The ketones, the tunic, and that was used for the, that could be used for the menorah. Okay. Now we're going to move on to Chanukah a little bit. Amar Rav Huda, psilo shvash amachamim v'likim mehem b'shabbos. Eim v'likim mehem b'chanukah be'im b'shabbos eim b'chol. Rav Huda says, the wicks and the oils that Chazal say, that our sages say, you don't light for them on Shabbos. You can't use those wicks or oils also on Chanukah, whether it's Shabbos Chanukah, that you light right before Shabbos, or the Chanukah menorah that you light during the week. Amar Rava, Rava says, my time at Rav Huda. What's the reason of Rav Huda? Kasavar kavsa zakukla. He says that if the flame of the menorah goes out, the Ner Chanukah went out before the Zman, before the time elapsed that you have to keep the menorah lit, so then you would have to repeat, you'd have to light again. And therefore, if indeed you would have to light the menorah again if the light went out, so you should use the wicks and the oil that aren't necessary, that won't go out. And also he holds mutter lishtabish laora. He also holds that you're allowed to use the light of the Ner Chanukah. And since you're allowed to use the light of the Ner Chanukah, so therefore you're not allowed to use the light of the Ner Chanukah on Shabbos with those wicks or oils that would be forbidden to be used for Ner Shabbos. Why? Because also by Ner Chanukah there's a concern that what? That maybe once you use if you're using the light of the Ner Chanukah on Shabbos, just like you would use the Ner of Shabbos, it might not light well, and you might come to play with the wick. So that the concern of playing with the wick of Ner Shabbos applies also to playing with the wick of the Ner Chanukah on Shabbos. So he says that you can't use any of the forbidden wicks, any wicks and oils that are forbidden on Shabbat that cannot be used for Ner Shabbos, cannot be used for Ner Chanukah, whether during the week or on Shabbos. Rav Chista says, "Madlikim b'heb b'chol v'lo b'Shabbos." He says, "No, you can use the wicks which are normally forbidden on Shabbos for Ner Shabbos during the week, but you can't use it for Shabbos." Kasavar, what must Rav Chista hold? Kavsa ein zakuklo. Rav Chista says, if the flame goes out for Ner Chanukah, you don't have to relight it. And therefore, you can light it with whatever wicks or oils you want. because even if it may go out during the before the time has been elapsed, because once you lit it, it's good. But he also holds that you're allowed to. He also holds that you would be allowed to derive benefit from the light of the menorah on to read. You'd be allowed to read by the light of the menorah, and therefore, since you would be allowed to do that, then what's the concern? Come Shabbos, you're reading from the light of the menorah. You might change the wick if the wick is not a great wick. Now, there's a third opinion. He says that wicks and oils that Chazal say that you can't light with them on Shabbos, you can light with them both during the week and on Shabbos. What's the reason of Rav? The first Rav holds that if the Ner Chanukah goes out, you don't have to relight it. So therefore, any wick is fine, any oil is fine. And secondly, and you're not allowed to derive benefit from the light of the menorah. That's what we hold. You're not allowed to derive benefit from the light of the menorah. Since you're not allowed to derive benefit from the light of the menorah, we're not concerned. You're going to play with the wick on Shabbos, and therefore what? And therefore, you would be allowed to use all of these wicks and all of these oils that would be invalid on for Ner Shabbos. You're allowed to use it for Ner Chanukah, even the Ner Chanukah that you light Friday late afternoon, because you're not going to be reading by it anyway. You're not going to change the wick. Amrua Rabbanan Kamei De'Abaye Mishmei Rav Yehuda. The Rabbanan said, was speaking before Abaye in the name of Rav Yirmiyah, V'lo Kibla, right? So they were saying this, the rationale of Rabbi Yirmiyah to Rav, and Abaye didn't accept this. Ki asa Rav Rabuk Rabbanan Kamei De'Abaye Mishmei De Rav Yochanan. When Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael, and he said this halacha in the name of Rabbi Yochanan to Abaye, then Kibla, then he accepted it because Abaye accepted the teaching from Rabbi Yochanan as opposed to Rav. Amar Abaye said, "Izakai gemirta lishmaite mekara. Had I been zocha, had I merited, I would have heard this teaching initially. I would have accepted it when Rabbi Yirmiyah initially told it to me." The Gemara says, "V'hagamra." So what? He says, but he learned it now. What do you mean the zchus? What do you mean, if I would have had a zechus, I would have learned it before? So the Gemara says, nafkamina legirsa de yankusa. The difference is that if he would have learned it before, then he would have been more sharp in his youth. And right, something that you, that's what he's saying is, oh, I wish I would have had the zechus. I would have had the zechus, you know, to learn and gone over it. And what's he saying here? Because when you teach a child something in his youth, and he goes over it again and again and again, so then he remembers it better than when he learns it when he gets older. Okay. The Gemara now asks from a Braisa, those who hold Kafsa Ein Zakukla, right? That those there's an opinion that says, if it goes out, you don't have to relight it. That's the opinion of Rav, among others. That was the opinion of Rav, and that was the opinion of Rav Chista. So the Gemara asks, Kaf saying Zakukla, is it true that if it goes out, you don't have to relight it? Or me, no. But we can ask the question from Brisa. Mitzvah sami shetishka chama vashetichla regal min hashuk. The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is once sun sets until the people stop walking in the street. My love, the kavsa hader madlikla. If indeed we're telling you that it has to light from the time that the sun sets until people stop walking in the street, what would that indicate? Then if it goes out in the middle, you have to relight it. Lo, that's not what it means, the Gemara says. What it means is, the e lo adlik madlik. What it means is that that doesn't mean that it has to light all the way until that time, but it means that if you didn't light it, the latest possible time is when people stop walking in the street. It doesn't mean that that's the duration when it has to light. Inami lishiura. Or maybe it means how much oil do you have to put in the lamp for it to last. The time it takes, however long it takes from sunset until people stop walking in the street. So two different ways to understand this. I believe the briskers are strict about this, the Havamina, where they say that you actually have to keep enough oil from really, like, I think, from the time that the sunset all the way until the last person to walk in the street, which could be many hours nowadays. Okay. In any case, the Gemara says, the Gemara explains that what does it mean, the end, Ashet Tichla Regal Min Ashuk, what does it mean, people stop walking in the street, Vad Kama, till when? Amar Rahav Avarchon, Rabbi Yochanan, Ashet Tichalya, Rigla de Tarmodoi, until those who sell the Tarmodoi, the people who sell wood to be burnt, they are the last ones to be walking in the street, because they wait until the shopkeepers return to their homes, and that they burn their wood for the heat, for lighting, and if someone's missing any wood, so they will return to the store to buy them wood. In other words, in those days there weren't lights outside. Once it was dark, it was curfew in a sense. So these people would sell wood for fire. Right, and they were the last ones in the street. That's Ashet Chala Rekel Min Ashuk.
Now, Rabbi, excuse me.
Sure.
Going back to the Ner Chanukah about, you know, that people, you said the Briskos would have a minhag of doing it all night. Tosus points out, he quotes the Ri, he says that now there shouldn't be any concern when we light it. Why? Because we only really were lighting it for the B'nai Bayis inside anyway.
That's Tosus's view. That's the debate between. Debate between Tosus and the Rambam. Tosus says, according to Ashkenazim, right, Tosus says nowadays we're only lighting for the house. Shulchan Aruch never held like that. The Shulchan Aruch held that you still have to light for the outside. Right. The Tosus says that because nowadays it's a danger potentially. Question: what the danger is? Well, Tosus actually here doesn't say it's a danger, but Tosus just says that we're only lighting inside. So it could be that it was. I once suggested that it's because, for practical purposes, in Ashkenazic communities, December time is pretty cold. This is before they had glass casings. It's very difficult to keep the light going in these type of climates. So it wasn't really shayach. It wasn't really, really possible to light the menorah, outside for people without it going out. So therefore they lit it inside. But that's the simple reading of the Gemara is that's not the case. Some of the Gemaras will see.
The Briskos follow the Rambam anyway. So.
Yeah. The simple reading of the Gemara, is that you have to light for outside, except bishas sakana, except in times of danger. Okay. So the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbana, rabbis teach. Mitzvah's Chanukah Ner Yishu Beis. The mitzvah of Chanukah is a person and his house. Meaning what? One light per house, no matter how many nights it is, no matter how many people in the house. V'amahadrin, the Mahadrin, the enhanced mitzvah is Ner L'Kol Echad V'Echad. It's one per member of the house. Which means, no matter first night, second night, third night, fourth night, you simply ask how many people are there in the house. There are three people in the house. You have three lights every night. Four people in the house, four lights every night. Now, Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin, the super enhanced mitzvah, the Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin is Beishamir Omri. Beishamir says, Yom Risho Madlik Shmona Mikam Veilach Poches Vaholech. You start with 8, and then you go down 7, 6, 5. Second day is 7, third day is 6, fourth day is 5. And Beisil Omri, Beisil says, Yom Risho Madlik Achas Mikam Veilach Mosi Vaholech. On the first day, you light 1, and then you add 1 for each day. We obviously hold like Beis Hillel. Just want to make the famous debate here. Again, this is between Tosus and the Rambam, as to whether this third level adds to the second level. In other words, the second level is you light per member of the house. When the third level, Mahadrin Mahadrin, is that adding to the Mahadrin? Do we light according to the member of the house and per night? In other words, one menorah per person and per night, or only one menorah per night? So this is also interesting. This is one of the few areas in halacha where the Sfardim, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin like Tosfos, that's the next Tosfos, David Mahadrin Mahadrin, that the Rambam Paskins like Tosfos. I'm sorry, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like Tosfos, Sfardim Paskin like Tosfos, who says that you only light one menorah for the entire house. Okay, and by the way, it probably has to do with the fact that they lit by the doorway. They didn't light in the house, they lit by the doorway. So therefore, if you have all these menorahs by the doorway, you can't tell. In those days, they didn't have official menorahs, they just had lights. So then you can't tell what night it is. So therefore, Shulchan Aruch says you have one menorah per household. However, the Rambam actually paskins you have one menorah per person. For everyone has their own menorah. And the Rama writes to deal with this problem is that you should have every menorah in a separate place. You don't get confused with how many nights it is. That's the machlok of Shulchan Aruch and Rama. Shulchan Aruch paskins actually like Tosfos, and the Rama paskins like the Rambam. But in any case, we hold like Beis Hillel, who says that you add one every night. Beis Shammai says you decrease. You start with eight, you go down to one. Beis Hillel says you start with one, you go up to eight. Amar Ula, Ula says, Pli ba tre amarayim b'marava. Two amarayim argued in the West, in Eretz Yisrael. Who are they? Rabbi Yossi bar Avi, Rabbi Yossi bar Zvida. Chad Amar, one said, time of the Beis Shammai, k'neged yom nichnasim. One said that the reason of Beis Shammai is that you have to light according to the day, the nights of menorah, the nights of Chanukah, there are going to come in the future. You start with eight, and then only 7 days left, only 6 days, etc. The time of Beis Hillel, Kenei Yomin Hayotzi, Beis Hillel says you light according to the days that are past. So the first night, one night's past, second night's, two night's past, etc. The Chadamar, another one of the Marim said, explained the debate is, Taima de Beis Shammai Keneged Parei Achag. Beis Shammai's reason is to correspond to the bulls that were offered on Sukkos. We have a precedent. The bulls that were offered on Sukkos, we have a total of 70 for the 7 days of Sukkos to correspond to the 70 nations of the world. And we go down 13. First day is 13. The second day is 12. The third day is 11. The fourth day is 10. So that's what we have according to that's what we have. And Beis Shammai says we follow that precedent. And time to Beis Hillel, the Baalim Bakosh Lo Emerita. We always elevate in levels of Kedusha and holiness, and we don't go down. Therefore, you add one Nair, an extra Nair every night. Amar Rav Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan, Shnei Zekeinu Hayu Be'er Tzidon. There are two scholars in the city of Tzidon. Echad Asak Dir Beis Shammai. One followed Beis Shammai. Echad Asak Dir Beis Hillel. One followed Beis Hillel. Zenose Tablet Varav, Kineged Pariachad, Venose in Tablet Varav, Demalim because of Imaridim. So, one gave the rationale of the Pariachad, the bulls that were offered by Sukkos, and he held like Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, and one gave a reason that the Malin Bakodesh, and he held like Beis Hillel. Tadar Abadad. Ner Chanukah mitzvah ladicha al pesach beisam yochutz. Ner Chanukah is a mitzvah to place it on the outside of the house by the courtyard, by the opening of your house by the courtyard to publicize the miracle for the masses. Vimi adar baliyah. If you're living in the upper level, the second level, the manichim b'chalon hasmucha l'rishus ha'rabim. You put it in the window opening by your house so that's by the public, by the street, so people can see it. Well, we shas hazakana at times of danger. So the way Rashi explains it is when they said you can't have another light. I saw that the Zoroastrians, the Babylonians at some point in time, when the Jews were living in Babel, so the Zoroastrians, so they followed the Zoroastrian religion, and around this time of the winter solstice, they had these fire temples, and they had some holidays where they weren't allowed any fires outside in the streets except for their own. And they would take the Jewish fires, and they would put them out, or take the fuel, whatever, to their own fire temples. So this is Shasta Sakara, not only Sakara for death, it would be a Sakara that they wouldn't be allowed to light any candles other than in their temples. So Manicha al Shulchan Avadaya, just leave it on your table, and that's sufficient. Amar Rava says, he says, if you light a Ner Chanukah on your table, so then you need to add another light to use. Because think about it, if you only light one at nighttime, presumably you are already lighting one Ner on your table, because they didn't have electric lights. So you want to be able to eat at night, so what would you do? You'd light one candle. So now in times of danger, if you have to light the Ner Chanukah inside your house, how is that going to be recognizable that that's for the purpose of Ner Chanukah? So therefore, what must you do? You must light another candle. V'ika Medura. But if you have already a torch, a big like bonfire, already, or the big torch in your house, and you use it, lo tzarech, you don't have to add another candle. So that's, it seems to me, by the way, it seems to me that according to the simple reading of the Gemara, that like in our days where we have electric lights in the house that we're using, you know, for our own purposes, there's probably not a reason for a shamish, for based on minhag and other, you know, nice ideas, nice reasons we use it. But the original reason of the shamish was in a situation where you had to light your candle inside the house, and so that it wouldn't appear that you're lighting it for a mundane purpose, so you had to light another candle. So therefore, if you have a torch, you don't have to light another candle because you're using the torch and you have the Derech Hanukkah. But if you're an Adam Chashev, you're an important person, and it's beneath your dignity to use a torch, apparently, to you'd only use the light of a candle. So there, afal gav di ika midura tzorech ner acheres. Even though there's a torch, you would need to use another candle. Because if you're someone who doesn't use that for purposes of your own lighting, so obviously, then when you light a candle in your house, it might be, people might think, oh, you're using it for your own personal benefit, so therefore you have to light another candle. Now, the Gemara is going to ask, famous Gemara, my Chanukah, what is Chanukah, and what miracle were these days established? The Tanur Rabbanan that the rabbis teach. On the 25th day of Kislev, the days of Chanukah are there eight. The lo lemispad behon, the lo lisanos behon. No eulogies, no fasting. Why? When the Greeks entered the Mikdash, they made all the oils of the Mikdash impure. And when the kingdom of the Chashmonaim came and defeated the Greeks, and they searched and they only found one jar of oil that was munach, that was hidden, that was placed in a hidden place, and that was in the sealed by the Kohen Gadol, so that was pure oil. There was only enough oil to last for one day. And I don't know if you've ever heard about this before, but breaking news, Nasa Bonates, a miracle happened. And it lasted for 8 days. Another year, the next year, at this time, they established these days as days of holidays. They made these days as holidays with what? How were they called holidays? And what were they holidays? Through Hallel and Hodah. Through Hallel and Hodah. So it's a question what Hodah means. Does Hodah mean Al Hanisim? Maybe Hodah could also maybe mean to some extent the menorah. But okay, these are days of praise and thanksgiving. Tadad Hasab. We learned in the Mishnah, in Bava Kama. So now we're talking about some issues. We're talking about tort law regarding Tener Chanukah. The Mishnah in Bava Kama says, gates, hayotze mitachas hapatish, v'yatza v'hizik chayat. A spark that leaves the hammer when you're hitting the anvil. And it goes out and it damages others, so you're liable. You have to pay, right? That you are, you have to pay for compensation if you cause damage. Now, gamal shetod, pishtad. Let's say a camel is laden with flax. V'over b'rishus harabim, and it's walking in rishus, it's trotting in rishus harabim. U'v'nichnesa pishtar l'soch hachanus v'dolka b'nero shel chanvani. So what happens? Because the streets are very crowded. And because there's a lot of flax on the camel. Some of the flax is, I guess, falls into or enters into the stores of one of the storekeeper, and there is a candle of the storekeeper being lit, and the flax goes on fire, v'hidlik esabira, and it burns a big house. So what's the halacha? Bal hagamal chayav. The owner of the camel is liable because he was negligent. He shouldn't have put too much flax onto the camel, so much so that it sort of like overflowed on the burden of the camel, and it dragged, some of it got, you know, went into the store. But If the storekeeper leaves his candle on the outside, then the storekeeper is liable because that is his own negligence. Rabbi Yehuda over here says, "Bener Chanukah Potter," but if the storekeeper places the Ner Chanukah on the outside, so then the storekeeper is Potter. Therefore, then he is not liable. Why? Because that he is permitted, and there's a mitzvah to place to place your menorah, your Ner, on the outside to publicize the miracle. And therefore, on Chanukah, the people who are with the camels, they have to beware, they have to understand that it's legitimate then. In other words, there's an ordinance, there's a law of the land, that during the rest of the year, keep your candles inside, and if you put it outside, you're negligent. But on Chanukah, the people who walk in the streets need to know that everyone's allowed to keep their light on the outside of their houses, and therefore the people on the streets have to beware, and if they're not careful, then they are negligent. So Amar Rav Ravina says, Zosomeris, this demonstrates Ner Chanukah mitzvah lanicha besoch asara. So we can prove from here that the Ner Chanukah is that there's a mitzvah to place it within 10 tfachim from the ground. Isoka daitech lamala me'asara. Because if it entered your mind that you can place it even above 10 tfachim, lema le hayalacha laniach lamala gamal verofo. So what you could have told the storekeeper is that, yeah, you were allowed to put it outside, but you were negligent. You should have put it higher than 10 tfachim, higher than 40 inches off the ground, in a way that it wouldn't affect the camel. In other words, it would be higher than the height of the camel, and then you wouldn't have the problem. So then in that case, the chenvani, the storekeeper, is still negligent. Since we don't say to the chenvani that you should have placed the menorah, or your candle for Chanukah, more than 10 tfachim above the ground, it must be that the mitzvah ideally is to place it within 10 tfachim from the ground. And the reason for that, by the way, is so that that's easier for people to see, okay, when they're walking by. And the Gemara tries to push off that proof by saying, V'dilma, imitricha leituva asilim nuye mi mitzvah. He said, the Gemara pushes off and says, maybe there's no mitzvah to place it within the 10 tfachim, but the reason why the storekeeper is potter, that if we burden him too much, then he will not perform the mitzvah. So not only do we tell people that you are allowed to place the menorah, that you won't, we tell you that essentially wherever you place the menorah, you're exempt from liability. There's no special benefit to placing it within 10 tfachim off the ground, but we are making a special law that no matter what you do, you will be exempt if it causes damage, and the people on the streets have to be aware why. Because we want people to form this mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, and therefore we make this special law just for 8 days. Okay?